I call this meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order and note for the record that a quorum is present. And the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. Vice Chair Edelson, can I get a motion?
Yes, I'd like to move those minutes from March 22nd.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. And we have three bills that we'll be doing today. House File 23 has been removed from the agenda for today, but you can look for that to come back on a future meeting agenda. So we will just have the three bills that remain. And the first bill today is House File 36, Representative Greenman. Good to see you, Representative Greenman.
Good morning.
And so I will move that House File 36 be re-referred to the General Register. And so we have the bill in front of us. And you have an A2 amendment. Would you like to move that, or should I move that for you right away and get the bill in the shape you'd like?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, please.
So I will also move the A2 amendment. Do you want to just quickly say what that is? I know you'll explain it more in the context of the bill, but just the change that the amendment is making.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. The amendment changes the appropriation to reflect the downward change in DLI's costs due to an amendment adopted in Judiciary. It changes the appropriation in 2024 to $115,000 from the Workers' Compensation Fund and to $91,000 in fiscal year 2025.
Thank you, Representative Freeman. Any discussion to the A2? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay. The motion prevails and the A2 amendment is adopted. So to your bill as amended, Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. It is nice to be back in Ways this year with this bill. The fiscal cost of this bill relates to MNOSHA's staffing costs to administer and enforce the provisions of this bill. So I'll give you a little background and then go into the those enforcement provisions. For a little background on why this standard and MNOSHA's enforcement is necessary, this bill is a worker safety bill that requires big warehouse companies to notify their workers of any quotas that an employee would be expected to meet and to provide their workers with access to their data about how they're performing these quotas. This policy is in response to workers' experience and reported data out of the Minnesota Amazon warehouses that show a model where workers are forced to work at a relentless pace under intense economics, long weekend, intense electronic surveillance, and the threat of discipline. Workers push themselves to the brink to meet quotas and time off task measures that are often changing and sometimes not even disclosed to workers. This model has created an injury rate of 1.5 times the injury rate of non-Amazon warehouses and 3 times the injury rate of private industry. Since we passed this bill off the House floor last session, the problem has only gotten worse. New data from 2021 shows that we've seen injury rates that have actually increased and risen 10% from the already staggeringly high injury rates. This bill responds to those worker safety problems by doing a few simple things. One, it requires warehouse companies to notify their workers of any quotas they could be disciplined or fired for failing to meet, and allows workers to request access to their performance data. It gives the Department of Labor and Industry the ability to enforce the provisions and ensures that warehouse workers have the tools to enforce the rights themselves. The cost of this bill, that $115,000 in fiscal year 2024 and $91,000 each year after, reflects the time, the staff time of MNOSHA's that they'll require to administer and enforce the provision, including 25% of a management analyst time to evaluate the covered distribution centers that will reach the 30% average of incidence rates. In 2024, that is 0.5 FTE because they need a little bit more time and resources to get this a new analysis up and running. And then there's 25% time of a MNOSHA safety inspector to complete the increased enforcement inspections. The appropriations to DLI expenditures are appropriated out of the Workers' Compensation Fund. And if folks have any additional questions on that, we have folks from DLI here to answer questions about the agency. But other than that, Madam Chair, I will turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. Does Discussion to the bill. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author. My guess is that if Amazon and others have had as many issues as they said, they must have been there and did some exploration, investigation, et cetera. What came of those investigations if they didn't fix the issue? Why do we think this will?
Representative Greenman, and I will just say today, too, I know that all three of the bills we have in front of us have policy that has been gone through committees, and we spent a bit of time. I looked back at the committees and saw the discussions. So I'll let it go a little bit, but we'll try to contain to the fiscal impacts, too. But Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. And we did have a pretty lengthy discussion about the enforcement mechanisms that are currently available and why we need these provisions that actually handle something that currently isn't in our standards. The problem we're trying to deal with is the fact that there's sort of opaque quotas that people are not sure and afraid of being disciplined for. And in order to make sure that workers have both the power to do their jobs the way they need to do them, we actually need a standard. The other thing I would say is the purpose of this bill is not on the penalty side, it is actually on the prevention side. What we're trying to do is prevent people from getting hurt, and that is why the information of what quota people are expected to meet is so important. That's currently not required under law, and that's why we need this bill.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, and Madam Chair, I was getting to the cost okay. with the question. So the question is, you're pulling the dollars from from workers' comp to the Commissioner of Labor and Industry. Doesn't that take away some of the enforcement after the fact as well?
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The short answer is no. There will be 0.25 more FTEs as DLI expects to increase their investigations and increase the amount of citations. That being said, we think that both the real impact of this bill will be obviously, we need an enforcement mechanism to make sure that folks are complying with the bill, but we also need to make sure that workers have the information, access to that information to keep themselves safe.
All right, thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Nick, or Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. And Representative Greenman, reading through the fiscal note, and you just happened to touch on it as I was reading the fiscal note, I think it's just kind of ironic that we're talking about not having standards that we're going to judge employees by, but we're setting standards that we expect these people that will be doing the inspections, we're going to have quotas for them to do so many inspections per year, and then we're also going to have quotas on how many citations they're expected to issue, and just think it's kind of ironic. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And let me clarify. This is just the estimate of that DLI has estimated based on the work that we're asking them to do. What we're doing is setting the policy in this bill requires that that large warehouses disclose any quotas that workers are required to comply with and gives them their data. What the fiscal note says and what DLI's enforcement is an estimate of given that we're asking them to do is say any warehouse that has over 30% higher the incidence rate than the average warehouses in Minnesota. We're requiring them to actually look at those warehouses and see if there's any citations. What they did was said, based on past experience, we expect there to be, 14 inspections will result in citation. That's not a quota, though. That's just their that's just their estimates for cost purposes.
Representative Novotny. Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I see one FTE added here. Is that correct, Representative Greenman?
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. I believe on the first, in 2024, it's the equivalent of one FTE. It's 0.5 for this, the management analyst whose job it is to really figure out what of these warehouses are, reach that 30% or above threshold, and then 0.5 of the safety inspectors to reflect the increased inspections. Moving forward after 2024, it goes down to 0.25 to a fourth of an FTE for that management analyst perspective, reflecting the fact that the first year is going to require setting up the systems and the analysis, and after that it'll just be maintenance.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So do you know, is that included in the governor's 2,349 jobs he's adding to the state, or is that an additional one?
Representative Greenman, do you?
Madam Chair, I am not sure. What I do know is it is a piece of the work that DLI is already doing, and it just reflects the increases as we think about how to increase worker safety in our warehouses.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And do we happen to have somebody from DLI here with us today?
We do. So I believe we have someone somewhere from DLI somewhere.
Somewhere.
We have the director of MNOSHA.
Okay. If would you like to ask your question as they make their way down?
Yes, if I could, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to the representative from DLI, we've heard that this is something that you need to be doing, but can you maybe brief us as to what has been happening and the number of investigations that you've been doing and the findings that you have? Because if we're going to appropriate this large sum of money, I'm keeping it on track, Madam Chair. If we're going to appropriate money for you to do something, can you tell us what's been being done so far, if the testifier would?
So Representative Greenman, I think, wants to respond, and then we'll turn it over to the testifier. So Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Mash. I was just going to start by saying we had a pretty lengthy discussion about this in the Labor Committee, and so I know for the purposes of this committee, but I'll turn it over to him. But we have been having this long conversation about the need for MNOSHA to have more inspectors to fulfill their obligations that we currently have, and then this bill would reflect new safety requirements.
Welcome to the committee. If you could introduce yourself for the record, and then you can proceed with responding to Representative Nash's question.
Sure. My name is James Kruger. I'm the director with Minnesota OSHA Compliance. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative, for the question. In regards to OSHA, OSHA currently has about 50 staff that are in the field enforcing its regulations. My belief is that's not enough. We could always use more. Anytime there's more work, we need more inspectors. We cover all industry. That includes agriculture, maritime, general industry, and construction. So we don't have a lot of staff to cover all these industries. When you look specifically, you know, whether it's a warehouse, whether it's meatpacking, any of those types of things all take resources. You know, we average about 60 inspections a year per inspector.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifier, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, the author has sort of focused on Amazon as her primary use of examples. Have you had much engagement there relative to what is being appropriated for you to do in this bill? Have you had many findings, many problems there? Can you maybe help us understand the pervasiveness of that? To the testifier.
Into the test fire. And is it Mr. Curtin?
Mr. Kruger.
Kruger. Now I hear you. I apologize. Mr. Kruger. So, Mr. Kruger, you can answer that. And I know Representative Nash, like, we're trying to really hone in on fiscal today because these have gone.
Oh, everything relates back to the money.
Okay. Mr. Kruger.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. In regards to the question, obviously OSHA does a lot of resources into different things. Currently, we have a number of local emphasis programs that is not including warehousing. Region 5 has really, which is Federal OSHA Region 5 out of Chicago, has done one. Minnesota is looking at that, so we would anticipate that we'd be doing more work in the future.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to me, that sounds like a no, but I will move on to another line of questioning that does relate back to the enforcement of DLI and money appropriated. To the author, in lines 2.4 and then again in line 2.6, you have some definitions around warehouse employees And I'm trying to figure out the definitional differences between warehouse employees and then on line 2.6, all employees and employer's unitary business. Can you help us understand the nuances of those? Because that sounds like something that Dolly's going to have to enforce, relating back to the money, Madam Chair. And I'm just trying to figure out, how do you reconcile those two differences? Because it does sound like they are very different applications, in as much as they have different definitions that will have to be enforced.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Nash. And I think it's actually pretty simple. What this bill says is that warehouses with over 250 workers or 1,000 workers amongst the various businesses are covered. And then there's a definition for in those warehouses what employees specifically these quotas are required. There's lots of people work in warehouses. This is actually in response to engagement we've had with the retailers and Amazon. We wanted to make sure that the standards that we're setting within these larger warehouses are for the work that we're talking about. People are getting hurt because of the kind of work that they're doing. So it made sense to exclude admin workers, folks who are just driving and not doing other things. And so that's where the definition was actually added, to give further clarification and specificity in response to the retailers themselves.
Representative Nash.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative Greenman, I've heard this bill with you, I think, last year as well. I'm still struggling to find the problem, or at least to be as exacerbated as you make it to be, and I will be voting no. I encourage my members to vote no. It seems a little overreaching, a little heavy-handed, and we've had this discussion before. But I do find that this is in many ways a solution in search of a problem. So if we can disagree on things policy-wise and still be friendly with one another, but I just don't see this as a viable solution. I will be voting no, and again, and I encourage my members to vote no. And Madam Chair, Representative Scott came late. I'm not sure if she has questions. If she doesn't, then great. Apparently she doesn't. Then we're good.
Okay, thank you, Representative Nash. We did have two more people add to the list, and so I will, Representative Nash is the Republican lead today, so we'll make sure to, I'll come back to you if you have further, but I appreciate that. So Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and this is the first time I'm hearing the bill, and I really appreciate this bill. And just really quick, I just think it makes so much sense, if you're going to be held to a quota, to know what the quota is. How can somebody be expected to, I mean, I think that's a recipe for disaster if you're held to a standard you don't even know. So thank you, Representative Greenman. That's all I need to say.
Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Greenman, for bringing this forward. I'm a little surprised, I guess, by the conversation this morning and the struggle to recognize a problem when there are facilities where 10% of workers have reported a workplace injury. That should be of concern to all of us as those who are responsible for maintaining labor standards in our state. You know, this is, I think, the cost of this bill, you know, to the point of our conversation here today on the fiscal implications is really modest compared to this problem. And I hope that this is just a first step, because, you know, when we have people whose business model is predicated on an unsafe workplace for those who are doing the work, that is a problem for all of us. That is not acceptable. This is like one of the largest and most profitable corporations in the world. And if they can't figure out how to do the most basic things to keep their workers safe, then we all should have something to say about that. And so I'm just really appreciative of this effort. I know that Representative Greenman has been working really hard on it. And I want to say that, you know, there's been some amazing organizing by the Awood Center and others and workers who are in these facilities. And that we know that when workers step forward and share about their experiences with employers, you know, that are difficult, that it puts them in danger. And so I just wanted to extend my gratitude to the, you know, the bravery of people who are stepping forward to share, you know, about what they're experiencing in their workplaces. And, you know, this is again, this is just a really, it's a modest bill. It's a first step. And I hope it's the first of many steps for us as a body to say, we're not just looking out for Jeff Bezos to make his billions. We're looking out for the people who are there making Jeff Bezos his millions every day, that their well-being matters too. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Hassan.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, my back is to you. And I also don't like to speak after Rep. Gomez because she does a good job of like really capturing the points. But I thank you, Rep. Greenman, for your work. We have heard this bill before. I know the amount of work that you put in during the interim trying to make sure that this is a bill that is in a good shape. And I know you've changed a lot from what this bill has started from. But what I really want to address is the safety of our workers. Many of these workers are immigrants from different parts of the world. Many of them are from East Africa. Many of them are Somali descent. Many of them live in my district. So I hear this problem constantly. People who have like lost their fingers, people who have had an accident, somebody who lost their child, they were pregnant, they couldn't leave their post and they were feeling pain, and all of the horrific stories of people who are just trying to make a living but are conditioned to terrible work conditions and strict work conditions that they can't even go to the bathroom unless it's a certain time that they're supposed to go, or if they don't, you know, fill in their quota, they may lose their job. Rep. Gomez said best, we don't represent Jeff Bezos of the world. We represent our constituencies, the people that live in our district. And many of them are from very low-income backgrounds. Many of them work 16 hours. I know people that work 16 hours just to barely make it, just to barely put food at the table and keep a roof over their head. These are the people we're talking about, and that's who this is going to protect. So to hear that we're in search of a problem is really disturbing, at least to me and to the people that this impacts. Thank you for this bill, and I encourage members to vote for this bill because it's a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Put a lead Garoff, or lead Garofalo is not here. Lead for the day, Nash.
Oh, I had a shudder there. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I got advice when I first got here that we don't typically legislate to fix a problem with one company or one specific thing, that a bill that we would draft much like this would be to fix a more pervasive problem across multiple enterprises. And I did go back and research some of the testimony, and we have not heard that Dolly has been addressing this. We have not heard, I believe it's 2 years of effort that's been going into this, and we haven't heard that they've done anything. So I'm just wondering where their activity is, or if, you know, who's fallen down on the job there, because I would have expected to have heard something about this by now. So again, I think this is very, very heavy-handed. Again, if there is a problem in multiple enterprises, I think we would have heard about it in a larger voice. And my reticence again is in taking an effort that has not seen a lot of activity by the Department of Labor and Industry. We have not heard about this. We are talking about one company in every piece of testimony. We haven't heard anything else. So I do find that troubling. I find it troubling enough that I cannot vote for this, and again would encourage our members to not vote for this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Greenman, if you'd close out
your bill. Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the discussion. Just a few points sort of in response. First is, this is a problem that we have heard about now for 2 years that we actually don't have law on the books to deal with. Just like in 2007, when we had a problem in our hospitals, we passed the safe handling patient standard because we knew we didn't have the worker safety framework This is what that does. This is about ensuring that we actually have the framework on the books to keep people safe, and that is what we do. To be honest, the reason that we're concerned, Amazon is not some small random company. They are the biggest company in the world, and as they have done with shipping, as they have done with logistics, what Amazon does, the rest of the industry follows. And so right now what we're looking at and saying is we actually need to address this problem, one, because there is a problem. We heard it in labor. We heard it in judiciary. We heard it last year. We heard it from Representative Juergens on the floor last year, who called one of his friends who is a warehouse worker and asked the question. This is a problem that if we're just listening, and the numbers, the 1 in 10 numbers, are self-reported from Amazon. So there's both the qualitative and quantitative data that we have a problem. But if we don't address this problem, what we know and what we can probably all see, whether it comes to how it's impacting small businesses, how it's impacting our logistics, what Amazon does, the technology that they use, the models that they drive, continue to drive the rest of the market. And what we don't want to have happen is this model that is treats people like robots, that doesn't actually take into account the way people, their bodies move, to hurt more workers, because it's already hurting 1 in 10 workers at Amazon warehouses. And the last thing I would say is when we think about this fiscal note, it is a modest impact, because we think that the biggest impact of this is actually workers having the ability to know what they're being expected of from the beginning. And to Representative Liebling's point, it seems like a no-brainer. If you're going to be held accountable for doing a certain amount of tasks for in a certain amount of time limit, you should know what it is. And the reason that they don't know what it is because of the speed-up dynamic of people are in constant fear that they're not working hard enough. It's not based on real people's bodies. We heard lots of testimony from other warehouse industries, workers, about how they keep their workers safe, UPS, Cisco, other things. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that there is a standard across the board for warehouse workers to keep Minnesotans safe. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. And I will move that House File 36, as amended, be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails, and House File 36, as amended, has been re-referred to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Greenman. The next bill on the agenda is House File 70, Representative Hansen. As you make your way up, I will move that House File 70 be re-referred to the General Register. So thank you, Representative Hansen. And so we have House File 70 in front of us. So if you could please describe your bill, you can go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. House File 70 is the updates to the Packing House Workers Bill of Rights. A version of this bill has moved through the legislature going back to 2007 when I first authored it. Since that time, there was a legislative audit report, I believe in 2015, and then in the last few years, the governor has compiled a task force to work on recommendations which resulted in this bill. This is in the governor's budget. The fiscal note was added. The amount was added in judiciary. It is a very detailed fiscal note, and it provides descriptions of what the changes are to the acts. It also acknowledges that would be 1 FTE ongoing. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Discussion to the bill. Any discussion to the bill? Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hansen, under Section 20 of the fines now go to the migrant or the aggravated workers. Where'd the fines go before?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Novotny to the general fund.
Representative Novotny.
My last question is, we're just coming out of the COVID shutdowns. I think this is a really good time to be increasing fines.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Novotny. Some of these fines were not increased for 20 or 30 years. I can get you the exact numbers, but things have changed over time, and we need to update and evolve the penalties so they are relevant for today.
Representative Vaughn.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Once again, I think we're coming down hard on our job creators. I think particularly given the level of activity and the yeoman's work that was done to survive the COVID shutdowns and of our meatpacking plants. And I, in listening to some of the supporting testimony in other committees, you would think that we were reading a couple of pages out of the Jungle by Upton Sinclair. I don't think that we're there. I don't think that this is the solution. And I'll be voting no. Encourage my members to vote no.
Okay. Representative.
If I could just say, Omar, this is just I will say though, I feel like the similar objections were in fact made at the time when the Jungle came out. To this is progress, right? Of identifying that there are needs, identifying that we want to make sure that people are living and working in dignity, and so this is progress. And I feel like very often we hear objections that have been made in the past to similar progress, and then progress continues and people's lives get better. So thank you so much, Representative Hansen.
Representative Gomez.
I'm sorry. I just have to say one thing. I know about one specific meatpacking plant, particularly in Minnesota. It's in Worthington, Minnesota, and please go back and look at the images of what it was like on the floor of the JBS plant in Worthington during the first days of COVID. There was no way to ensure the safety of these workers at that point, and yet they were, side by side with each other, no personal protective equipment at that time. These mega meat processing outfits, have made billions of dollars during COVID of profit. Seriously, like, just look it up. Also, very recently, there are children working in these factories in our state, in Minnesota. Children working in these factories of multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporations who made billions of dollars during COVID. So I just think the concerns about levying a fine in that context, I'm rather shocked by, given the fact that these kids, okay, these are purveyors of child labor. They have been cited for these practices. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask if we have examples of child labor violations.
No, my God.
I'll send you a link.
If we have examples of child labor violations that have been officially documented, I think that everybody would love to read those, but I don't believe we do. I'm open to be corrected, but I don't think that that's the type of rhetoric that we want to have here. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Nash. And I think I see my colleagues responding because there have been articles in the local papers and the Star Tribune and others reporting on this. So. But we'll make sure to follow up. And so just to say that, I think, is what folks are reacting to here. And with that, I will go to Representative Hansen to close out.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At its heart, the Packing House Workers' Bill of Rights updates and the other provisions in House File 70 are notification, basic notification. And while the packing houses may have survived and thrived and make great profit, some of the workers did not. We need this bill.
Thank you for your work, Representative Hansen. And with that, I renew my motion that House File 70 be re-referred to the General Register. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I did. Let's vote. I renew my motion that House File 70 be re-referred to the General Register. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion prevails and House File 70 has been re-referred to the General Register. And the last bill on the calendar for the day is House File 70, Representative. Okay. I got this. It's Monday morning. So the last bill today is House File 70. 10. We just passed 70. House File 10. Representative Lissagard. So I move that House File 10 be referred to the General Register. And with that, you can proceed to describe your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I am happy to present House File 10, a bill to enhance safety standards at the state's two petroleum refineries. I would note that this bill is before Ways and Means because of a small fiscal note. Members who served last year may remember this bill, which was passed in the House with bipartisan support, but it never reached the governor's desk, unfortunately. At its heart, the bill requires construction contractors who are hired at the refineries to employ a percentage of their workforce that is enrolled in a registered apprenticeship program or has graduated from such a program. The Department of Labor and Industries estimates $5,000 in penalty revenue annually as a result of the bill, and from their anticipation of one complaint being filed annually. And so with me, I did bring the Department of Labor to answer any questions. I did get told that there will be a few questions and she would be able to answer them.
Thank you, Representative Lissagard, and thanks for your work on this bill over time and engaging the stakeholders and making changes to get it to where it is today. So I know you've worked hard on it. Member discussion. Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Lissagard, does the Department of Labor have the staff to handle this anticipated influx of applications?
Representative Lissagard.
Madam Chair, I think that that question should go to the Department of Labor, who is sitting right next to me.
Ms. Peruchet, please introduce yourself for the record, and you can respond to the representative's question.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Kate Peruchet, and I'm Deputy Commissioner at the Department of Labor and Industry. Representative, thank you for the question. Yes, we do believe we have sufficient staffing to work with contractors and owners who are interested in starting registered apprenticeship programs.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, and I'm sure it's addressed, but just for everyone that's out here, how many people are we talking about, or how many applications are you anticipating?
Ms. Peruchet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We haven't anticipated an exact number of new applications we might receive. The department has already registered many programs in the building and construction trades. In addition, the bill does allow other state apprenticeship agencies registered programs to be included, as well as the Federal Office of Apprenticeship programs that are already registered.
Representative Novotny.
Thank you, Chair.
Further discussion. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you for bringing this, Representative Lissagard. I strongly support it. And I also wanted to point out that, you know, as it relates to the previous bills we've heard, there are issues in these facilities in terms of inspections. We need to have more frequent inspections and better inspections, and we need the resources to do that. And I'm, you know, been in contact with the PCA about this. I believe they regulate this area, and I just wanted to point that out while we're on the topic of refinery safety and workplace, that this is an issue that needs to be addressed.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Lissagard, it's good to see you. We missed you Thursday night. Just wondering what problem we're trying to fix here with this bill.
Representative Lissagard.
Madam Chair and Representative, I don't know if you've ever been in heavy industrial. I don't know where, you know, what kind of jobs you've really went, but there are certain jobs out there that are extremely dangerous. I mean, it's not like going to a nail, get your nails done or anything like that. This is serious dangerous work that it takes a certain skill set and experience. And that's what this bill does. It's not about Democrat, Republican, union versus non-union. This is about putting in place procedures that individuals have to check off that demonstrates that they're proficient. You turn the wrong valve, you use the wrong piece of equipment or tool for a job, and there are real consequences.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I don't doubt that there are real consequences, but this is already a heavily regulated industry. Are we seeing a lot of safety issues being reported at these entities right now under the current situation?
No, go to Representative Lissagard, and just remind folks we're going to try to, as much as we can, this has had multiple hearings over time and has been vetted for policy, but go ahead, Representative Lissagard.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. I guess I don't know the numbers, you know, right off the top of my head what the recordables are. All I know is that there have been, and I think that there's one company that is better than the other company in their enforcement, in their oversight, and their willingness to make sure that everyone is has the best training possible. So when you ask me about the numbers, I don't know the numbers right off the top of my head, but any industry that has that volume of work and that type of work, there's going to be a situation. And I'll just finish with this, because I think that I just heard this, and it had to do with the flights. There have been more and more flights that are close calls. And close calls and near misses is something that we all have to be extremely careful about, because there will come a time where those close calls or those near misses become reality, and people's lives will forever be impacted, and not in a good way.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Liz Lagard, you're the author of this bill. You're saying that we need more regulation. You're saying that the workers there need more training, but you don't have the statistics on what's going on in these entities. I would hope that when you bring this to the floor that you'll have that data, because that's really important data to compare. And let's compare what's going on in union versus non-union shops, because this is what this bill really is.
Ooh.
This is really a bill to benefit unions and to get more union employment at these entities. It's not a secret around this place. So
Representative Scott,
I would encourage people to vote no.
Yeah. We're not going to impugn motives. We're not going to, and we're here because of the fiscal part of this bill. So we'll move on to the next member on the list. Representative Cleaborn.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And Representative Lissagard, I want to thank you very much, especially today, as there are workers in Pennsylvania looking still for bodies that are missing from an explosion that may or may not have been from a gas leak. We still don't know the exact cause of that explosion in the chocolate factory in Pennsylvania, but I remember very clearly Representative Frankie talking to you and supporting this legislation. When it comes to public safety, we talk about public safety a lot and supporting public safety, but when an explosion at a facility like this could rock an entire community and shake the foundation of an entire community, we cannot be lax. It will come back to us. We looked at this, but we decided, no, that community's not that important. We don't care. This is not just about workers, but it's about the general public and economic safety of an entire community. So I just want to say thank you for bringing it forward. And to whether they're union or non-union, I don't care. I want everybody on every one of these important infrastructure facilities to be highly qualified and highly trained. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Cleaborn. Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Lissagard, I appreciate the knowledge in the workplace discussion. So is there a competency test out option for subcontractors? For example, if somebody can prove they've got 7,000 hours W-2 time, can they then test out?
Madam Chair, I will turn that over to either Chris DeLaForest or Department of Labor.
Deputy Commissioner Prushek, would that be something you could respond to? And if not today, we could always get answers as well, too. But Deputy Commissioner Prushek.
Sure. Madam Chair, I will note in the bill there are four ways that an individual can meet the definition of a safe and skilled workforce. And number four is has at least 5 years of experience working in the applicable trade and is currently participating in a journey worker upgrade training. So I believe that provision may capture some of the individuals you're talking about.
Representative Farr.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Liz Lagarde. I remember just a few years ago, I went on a tour of Flint Hills. And it was really eye-opening, and I really do appreciate the great work they're doing. But it was shocking to me to see how close homes were to that refinery. And so I think it's important, Representative Scott, to not impugn motives here. I think it's really a great bill. And you should be proud, and I'm proud that we're carrying this. I'm going to look forward to voting for it on the floor.
Further discussion? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to first start off by Representative Scott asked the author a question and asked for specific details. And in his initial part of the response, Madam Chair, he said, well, Representative Scott, I don't know what type of job site you've ever been on, if you've ever been on a heavy industry place, but these are not places we go to have our nails done, to one of our female members. If we're going to talk about not impugning motives and not treating members with disrespect, let's start there, Representative Liz Lagarde. This is not something that we are going to mansplain to our members and not demean them by saying, well, we don't know what type of experience you have there, and it's not the kind of place you go to do your nails. That, sir, is crap. Now, to the bill. Some questions for the author. Effectively, you're creating a journey program for people who are in a union, but my question is, are there people who are not in a union that are qualified to do this work?
Representative Liz Lagarde.
Madam Chair, Representative, I could have used getting my hair done if that would have been less disrespectful to you.
Chair.
Well, no, he's calling me out, so, I mean.
Rightly so.
And then you're talking about union versus non-union, and that's what this is about? I've said from the day one that it's not about union.
Yeah. Let's just pause for a second here. So I think it got a little heated, and I think there were comments that were made starting at the very beginning of this that were out of line, and both, you know, impugning members' motives, where they were last week that led to this to get heightened, and let's take it back to the bill, and let's take it back to the fiscal impact. So Representative Nash, if you have a question or closing comment regarding the fiscal implications of this, you're welcome to proceed. Otherwise, we're going to move to a vote.
Madam Chair, I have many questions Nash. That do pertain to fiscal implications of this bill, but that is one of my questions that, if you won't let me ask it here, we'll ask it a number of times on the floor to be sure. But it does come down to the registration of an apprenticeship program. If there is a person to the author that came from an existing apprenticeship program in another state but chooses not to undergo joining a union here, are they disqualified from joining that? Because that's certainly something that Dolly would have to understand and regulate.
Representative Liz Carter, would you rather Deputy Commissioner?
Well, I would like to comment first. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, this thing is going to require that any contractor that comes on the site has a certain percentage that are in an apprenticeship program that they have to sign off. So there's going to be individuals that have 20 years of experience that they're going to have to go through or be, you know. So I'll let the Department of Labor answer that for you, but that is exactly what this bill is intended to do. It's not about union. It's not about non-union. It is about making sure that there is an apprenticeship program put into place to make sure that people who are doing these very dangerous tasks have the proper training or in the process and have oversight while they're utilizing those tools and equipment.
Deputy Commissioner Pruchek.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Nash. In the definitions of the bill to your specific question, a registered apprenticeship program includes a program registered in Minnesota, a program registered with the federal USDOL, or a registered apprenticeship program in another state. So if a employee were registered as an apprentice with a other state program, they would not then have to also register with Minnesota.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Ms. Peruchik, so maybe to dive in a little bit deeper then, so we have many qualified employees that can do this work that work in merit shops. Are you saying that those that work in merit shops are not able to now do this work moving forward?
Deputy Commissioner Peruchek.
Madam Chair, Representative Nash, again, the bill doesn't specify whether it's a merit shop or union or non-union. It's participation in a registered apprenticeship program. And here in Minnesota, we do have an apprenticeship program, several apprenticeship programs that are not union affiliated.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Next question for Ms. Peruzic. Assuming a contractor doesn't currently have an apprenticeship program, and if they were to submit one, what sort of time could they expect to have that lifted off the ground and approved through your office?
Deputy Commissioner Peruzic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I would say that the timeline can take anywhere from a few weeks to several months. It really depends on how the proposed standard, is what we call it, comes to us. So there are certain conditions that an apprenticeship program has to meet to meet the requirements of federal and state law. But at the department, we have specific development specialists that work very closely with employers interested in starting a registered apprenticeship program to ensure that those requirements are met.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, as a enforcement issue relative to the fiscal note and the fiscal implications, if I'm understanding correctly, and I may not be, but if I understand correctly, if a company has an approved registered apprenticeship program under the federal code or registered in another state, does that mean that they then would meet the criterion laid out in this bill?
Deputy Commissioner Peruzic.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For purposes of meeting the definition of a safe and skilled workforce, is that so long as a person is in a registered apprenticeship program in one of those three, Minnesota, another state, or with USDOL, yes, that requirement would be met.
Representative Nash.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. And to Ms. Peruzic, I guess I'm just trying to find and thread the needle here. Because I do know that there are many people who are Minnesota citizens that have been doing this work that maybe work in an area that only partly is covered under the definition of this bill, that are doing work in other areas. How does that adjacency, or how do you resolve all the different parts of the bill relative to what those folks are doing? Because they're not only going to work in just one of these particular areas, but they may work in adjacent or other areas. How do you figure out that, and how do you reconcile that moving forward?
Representative Nash, we're well beyond the scope of the fiscal note here, and I think I've been pretty generous with the discussion. So if you'd like to make closing comments to the bill, I would allow that.
To be fair, Madam Chair, if we're going to appropriate money to DALI in order to do these enforcement things, detailing the aspects and the details of what they're going to be doing is vitally important to the conversation that we're having here in Ways and Means. We're going to create a bag of cash to give to them to enforce these things. And if we don't know how the policy shakes out in order for them to enforce it, then I think we're not doing our job. So if we could get an answer on the last question, it is all tied back to the money. If they're going to have to enforce things, we should understand how the policy shakes out relative to their enforcement thereof.
Say that. Deputy Commissioner Peruzic will have this last ability to answer this question, then we'll go back to Representative Nash for a closing comment. Deputy Commissioner Peruzic.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. We would suggest that we would look at the job to see if it meets the definition in the bill of an apprenticeable occupation in the building and construction trades. We understand that there may be components to a job that don't specifically, you know, fit within an apprenticeable occupation, but we would be looking at, you know, the bulk of the job and whether that job fits the definition of an apprenticeable occupation in the building and construction trades.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Peruzic. And as noted, and just double-checking with fiscal staff, there actually is no appropriation or cost to this bill, so I think we have done a pretty thorough vetting of the policy that has led to a bill with a zero appropriation. And so with that, I'm actually going to go to Representative Lissler.
Madam Chair, if I could close out.
You can, Representative Nash, I have been super generous to you today, so if you could be brief and if you could stick to the reason this bill is in Ways and Means, it would be appreciated. Representative Nash.
Well, Madam Chair, first I'm going to ask for a roll call, which is why I wanted to be recognized.
Roll call has been requested and there will be a roll
call. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this all comes down to hiring the right employee for the right job. Many of those are from merit shops. Those are not things that we should deal with trivially. This is not. I will be measured. We should not be driving employees and work towards one type of shop. So with that, I would encourage a no vote and appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Nash. And with that, I'll go to Representative Listigard. Do you have a closing word on your bill? Maybe. Representative Listigard, thank you for the work on the bill. I know this got heated. Appreciate your work and what you've done so far. If you'd like to close this out.
Well, this is a great bill, and the vote, it is what it is, and it'll be what it'll be.
Thank you, Representative. And with that, I renew my motion that House File 10 be re-referred to the General Register, and there is a roll call.
Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Vice Chair Edelson?
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Representative Garofalo is excused. Representative Akam?
Aye.
Akam, aye. Representative Egbaje?
Aye.
Egbaje, aye. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Freiberg?
Yes.
Freiberg, aye. Representative Gomez?
Aye.
Gomez, aye. Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Heintzman is excused. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Howard?
Aye.
Howard, aye. Representative Cleborn?
Aye.
Cleborn, aye. Representative Preshaw? Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Moeller?
Aye.
Moeller, aye. Representative Nash?
Nope.
Nash, no. Representative Knorr?
Yes.
Knorr, aye. Representative Novotny? Novotny, no. Representative O'Neill is excused. Representative Pawlowski?
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg?
No.
Petersburg, no. Representative Farr?
No.
Farr, no. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher is excused. Give me. Representative Scott?
No.
Scott, no. Representative Joachim?
Yes.
Joachim, aye. And Representative Preshaw? Madam Chair, there being 18 ayes, 5 noes, and 4 excused.
There being 18 ayes and 5 nays, the bill is passed to the General Register. And with that, we have no more on the calendar for today. We will be meeting on Monday. Expect that to be a longer meeting, and just stay tuned until then. And with that, we are adjourned.